Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, so Farrell on the bench, I'm going to get burned on this game for sure. The Raiders scored again. They're up two touchdowns on the Saints, and there's, you know, 7 minutes left in the game. This game's over. I got to tell you, is this the beginning of the end for Drew Brees? I mean, this was the worst performance I've ever seen him. 208 yards, one interception, one touchdown, 16 of 27. Carr's totally outplayed him. Three touchdown passes. Jacobs, 68 yards. Waller, the receiver, 12 catches, 103 yards, and a touchdown for Vegas. Kamara, 11 carries, 68 yards, and a touchdown. That's about it. But bottom line is the Raiders are kicking their ass. Jalen Richard, the 20-yard TD rush. They get the extra point, 31-17 Raiders, and it's lights out. The party's over. They're not scoring twice, in my opinion. Do you really think they're going to score twice in 7 minutes when they can't even get they can barely move the ball across midfield, let alone score a touchdown? I mean, I have never seen Drew Brees look so old and average in my life. Of his entire career. Mavia, when is the last time you saw him have a game this bad?
Never. Maybe back when he was like hurt with the Chargers before he left there. That's the last time I've seen him look this bad. You know, since he came to New Orleans, the guy's just slung it all over the field, getting completion like 80, 70, you know, 5, 78 of percent of his passes. And he can't hit anybody. He's missing everybody tonight. It's pathetic.
And that interception he threw to the linebacker was so bad that it was the first time I've ever said, the game's fixed. And now I'm saying, now the game's not over yet where he can actually throw for a few more yards. But I think tonight Drew Brees has been terrible.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, I won't believe it if he actually pulls it off. They have the ball at the Raider 15 with just under 5 minutes to go, first and 10, Saints. And here's a quick fact. Now, Kamara gets down to the three on a completion. He has not completed one pass, Breeze, over 20 yards the entire night. Not one. That's strike one for me. And two, he threw that pick, which was the most embarrassing pass I've seen him throw ever. And then three, the Saints just scored. So now they're going to be down with the extra point. They'll be down seven. And there's, you know, 4.5 minutes left, 4.5 minutes left. They have one timeout and then they have the 2 minute warning. So they got two ways to stop the clock besides a spike or a get out of bounds play. So they have they got no timeouts. They got one timeout left. So it's got to be 2 minute warning and then spikes and out of bounds only. Mafia, do you think that they can get the ball back with, let's say, a minute 40, let's say a minute 30, let's say if they have 90 seconds, do you think that he can move them down the field and tie the game?
No, not from what we've seen, because like you said, that drive took a whole lot of dinks and dunks to get all the way down the field, and that's not something he's going to be able to do. You know, when you get into that two-minute warning, you can do a little bit of that. You can't do as much as they did. They need bigger plays, and he's not having that happen at all tonight.
Well, here's the deal. He hasn't thrown one pass over 20 yards. So how now all of a sudden he's going to start chucking it down the field where he hasn't done it all?
Exactly.
Right. So I don't see it. But, you know, I'd love to see it go to overtime. Here's another thing I have to point out. Riddick, Greasy, and Levy wearing the yellow Frank Gifford, Dandy Don, and Howard Cosell yellow sport coats. I mean, honestly, when I first saw it tonight, I thought the first thing that came out of my mouth was, look at these three bananas. I was like, honestly, they're so bright. But they are, and I've said this on Coast to Coast and for all the bench many times, they have been trying to replace Dandy Don, Meredith, and Griff, Howard Cosell and the three of them, there's just, you know, Frank Gifford. They have tried to replace those three guys for forever. Since they stopped calling Monday Night Football, they have swung and missed on every single booth that they've put in there, right? So now this year they decide suddenly with Levy, Greasy, and Riddick to bust out the old Howard Cosell yellow sport coats from ABC. They're still trying to emulate those three. They're making these three guys dress up like bananas to call the game. Have you seen a Mafia wearing the yellow sport coats, how ridiculous they look?
Yeah, I didn't even realize they were the ABC ones at first. I thought there was some like bad knockoff Hall of Fame ones after we just had the whole thing with Buck, getting told on air he was going to the Hall of Fame last week. Wow. I thought they were doing something with that. I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I love, too, how about when the ESPN, like the bubble, they have like plexiglass behind, in between every one of these broadcasters, all these other things. We see them socially distant and everything. These guys are all right together in the same booth. There's no one else in the stadium. They can't spread them out a bit.
Fair enough. But I think that this is, without a doubt, they're wearing those three Blazers or the same Blazers that Cosell and his boys used to wear back in the day.
Them, even though they're not on ABC.
Right, because that's exactly right, because they're on ESPN. Now look at Josh Jacobs running for another 12 yards. They can't even stop Jacobs after he hurt his leg. The guy's running all over him. They can't. The Raiders, I think the Saints defense is ass. Remember, so just so we're clear now, after watching the Saints tonight, there is no way that you can tell me right now that they're better than Aaron Rodgers or that they're better than, and I'm just going to say it flat out, the Rams look really good so far, don't they? So you're telling me that this Saints team that can't stop the Raiders from doing anything, the Raiders have done whatever they wanted all night long. I mean, they have moved up and down the field on them and kicked their ass six ways till Sunday. And they've also, they were down 10-0 and 17-7. They were down 10 twice. And they still kicked their ass all over the field. Carr threw it all over the field. They ran it all over the field. They did whatever they wanted all night. I don't see it. I don't see where, and I know it's only one game, but I don't see where, what fear is there watching this Saints defense? Besides, there's no fear at all. I'm not afraid of them. All I saw was them getting absolutely exposed tonight. And I'm going to say it again. It's the first time I've ever seen Drew Brees look old. I mean, he even looks old in his helmet. Look at his face. I was like looking at him going, oh my God, he's finally old. I'll be honest, Tom Brady doesn't even look old yet. To me, he doesn't look old. He looks just like, you know what he looks like? I mean, that guy's 41, right? Isn't he something like that? How old is Brady? 43, right? So he's going to play two more years is what he wants till he's 45. So Brady looks to me to be, he literally to me looks like he's 37. 38. Would you be willing to go with that, Moff?
Yeah, I think he looked a lot better in the second game. I think the first game he kind of looked a little off and maybe a little old, but he seems to get it back together with the timing and, you know, back to himself yesterday for sure.
Oh, my God. Did you see this ref just throw this flag from 40 yards away, this crappy call? Are you kidding me? Did you see this ref throw this flag?
And that's the game right there, because if they don't call that, they got to punt it with 2 minutes left and, you know, a timeout.
You can't call that from 30 yards away on that play with a ref all over him. That is such a bad call. That's the game right there. Game over. First down. Raiders. That's such a terrible call. That's such a terrible call. Oh, my God. These refs ruin everything. They ruin everything. NBA, NFL, NHL. They ruin everything. Look at the head coach. Look at him. Peyton's laughing at him. He's laughing at the refs. That's how bad that call was. He's dropping bombs on him. He just said that's the worst Ferrellin call I've ever seen. This call is so bad. The ref was 30 yards away from the play, and he threw the flag. How in God's name can that ref make that call? That shouldn't even be allowed. It shouldn't even be allowed. You can't throw that flag when you're not the ref on the play. He was across the field, the ref that threw the flag. God, that was so bad. Oh, my God, the NFL refs. Here we go with the geriatric crap refs. That just ruining it. Even Gruden knows it. Gruden's standing over there going, oh, my God, did you see that call? Did you see that call they just made? Oh, my God. I changed the channel, somebody, so I don't have to watch this anymore. I can't even take it. Did you, Mafia? You got to admit. You have to. I have no bones in this. I don't care about either team. Did you see that call from a ref 30 yards away from the ball? Oh, my God. And they can't even appeal it? They can't even, they don't have that rule anymore, do they?
They took that out after all that failure last year. They never overturned anything. They got rid of the PI. I mean, these guys just battling the whole way down the field. You gotta let that go in that situation. You cannot make that call, that ticky-tack, you know, call with 2 minutes left that changes the game. They would either punt it, they would have given Drew Brees a chance to tie it up and send it to overtime. Instead, they just put a nail in their coffin.
That was just so, that ended the game. That call became the game right there. There's your game. Right there, the ref just decided the game, not the players. This is what I talk about all the time. You cannot let you pay these guys millions of dollars to perform at the highest level in prime time on national television. And what do we see? We see refs making calls. We don't see players. We don't see plays. We don't see big game plays. We don't see great endings. We don't see anything because the refs control every sport. The players don't control anything. They don't control jack shack. The refs control everything. That game was about, they were about to punt the ball to the Saints and have a great finish, a two-minute finish with Drew Brees having the ball to go down the length of the field. Instead, the game is over because the ref threw a flag from 30 yards away from the play. You suck.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, so bottom line is they're going to kick a field goal here. The Raiders with 1:07 left. They called a timeout so they could get the guy out there to kick the field goal. It's a 55-yarder, and I have to say, without a doubt, and I have no bones in this, that call by the ref ruined this game, in my opinion, because it was third down, and it would have been – they would have had to punt the ball, and they would have got the ball back with 2:08 and a timeout, and the two-minute warning. Instead, they gave them an automatic first down. They had the two-minute warning. Then they had to use their timeout, and then they had to run three plays. So now the guy gets to kick the game-winning field goal, and he made it. So that's game over. So the refs fixed the game for the Raiders. That's what they did. That ref threw a flag from 30 yards away from the pass interference. That was no pass interference at all. It was a bad call. The guy that was on the call, on the ball, 5 yards away from the pass, he didn't call it because it wasn't pass interference. But the guy 30 yards away throws a flag. That should be criminal. That guy should be fired for that crap call that ruined the end of that game. That is absolute BS. I want to know that guy's name, and I want to crucify his ass for the rest of my life on television and on the radio. That game was so fixed by that ref. That was so bad. You can't even deny it. I don't care who you root for. If you're a Raider fan, you should admit it. That was absolute BS. That call was atrocious, and Peyton knew it. Everyone knew it. Gruden knew it. You cannot call that pass interference from 25, 30 yards away. You can't do it.
That's because, like you said off air, Scott, the ball was thrown terribly. It was 10 yards over his head. It was uncatchable.
The guy that was on the ball didn't call it because it wasn't pass interference. How's the guy
catching it? Even if no one touched him. He had no chance of catching that. Carr missed him completely. So for him to throw that flag and bail him out for a bad throw and change that game was terrible.
It was so terrible. Oh, my God. I saw this guy throw that flag from 30 yards away. I mean, he must have been 25, 30 yards away from the ball. It was so bad. It was so embarrassing. I mean, it is. I mean, the Raiders deserve to win tonight because they kicked the Saints' ass. But the fact is, the game might have been different. It might have had a good ending. It might have had an actual exciting ending if they would have not made that call. It would have been, you know, Saints get the ball, chance to move it down the field, 2 minute, you know, hurry up offense, go down, tie the game, and then you got overtime. Instead, they fixed it so the Raiders would win. I mean, that's exactly what happened. There's not even a question. That was a terrible call. I don't care who you root for. I won't even discuss it with anyone that disagrees. Don't even think about tweeting me, texting me, calling me. Do none of the above. Don't waste your time. Peyton knew it. Sean Payton laughed at the guy and told him he was a Pharrell an idiot because that was the worst call. Oh, my God. What don't they ruin in sports? Mavia, is there anything that grates on me more than refs? They ruin everything. They ruin everything. They'll ruin your day. The refs in pro sports are so bad. Where do they find these people? Honestly, are they on Skid Row? Where do they find them? With needles in their arms? Because they are so bad. Between the NBA and NFL, I can't even take it anymore. I mean, the NHL is just as bad. But, you know, at some level, they call good games. Like, you know, tonight, that was clearly an offside on the goal that, you know, Coleman was offside on the goal, Sergachev goal, and they got that right. So once in a while, they call a good game. When do you ever see, and I mean it, when do you ever see these NFL refs not throw too many flags? And when do you not see the NBA ruin every game? Every game. Every game is about the refs. It's not about players anymore. It's about refs. The games are about refs. They're not about, you pay a guy super max contracts. You pay guys hundreds of millions of dollars. And it doesn't matter how much money they make. It doesn't matter about how good they are. It doesn't matter how good the game is, because it's all controlled by refs. You can't even argue it, Mafia. The refs control everything. It's about the refs.
There's too many of them get involved. Too many of them try to control, make it about themselves. And like you see, you know, we even talked about last night with Kyle, when these, where, you know, the Lakers talk so much to the refs that the ref even came over in the first timeout, telling them stop the talking. It's like, dude, do your job. Your job is to go through the talking, forget about the talking, zone that out, and just do your job making calls. Don't go talking back to them. Don't incite them. Don't make it worse by running your mouth back at them.
So now, you know what this guy on ESPN does? He sucks up to whoever wins, and he just absolutely, like a porn star, gets on his knees and just absolutely, whoever wins, he's just sucking up to get his interview, instead of having the stones to just say what it is. That ref ruined the end of that game. I don't care what. Listen, I went 75% NFL bets yesterday. 1-4 and Sunday night, 75%. So you can, you know what, with my tuchus on your lips. The bottom line is that I hit so many bets make your head spin, and I lost tonight's game. But it wasn't, you know, I lost because Drew Brees sucked and because the ref made that call. I mean, that's all there is to it. Here's the deal. If they moved down the field with a 2-minute hurry up and they scored, it could have scored in overtime by 6 and won and covered. Could they not have? They could have scored a touchdown and won the game by 6.
Absolutely could have.
But that ref made sure there wasn't going to be any more Saints having the ball, didn't he? With that call. Now, if the ref that was on the pass, if that ref makes the call, then I eat it and I'll live with it, okay? Because he's the guy that was on top of the play. He's the ref that is making that call. But the fact that that guy didn't throw the flag, and he knew that catch wasn't happening, that pass was not being caught, and that both of those guys were tangled up, there was nothing there about defensive pass interference at all. You cannot sell that to me. I saw it over and over and over. I saw that play. That's not pass interference. But a guy throws a flag from 25, 30 yards away and makes that call. I have a guy that we play basketball. I have a guy that I always talk about this ref. This ref, and Mafia will, God is my witness, back me up on this. Does that guy not make calls from the other end of the court on fouls in the block?
All the time.
And where does he make the call from? Literally the other free throw line.
Right, from the opposite side of the court, completely. You know, 40 feet behind the play.
40, 50 feet behind the play, he'll make a call. Now, is there anything worse than that? Is there anything worse in sports than a ref that can't even make it over the timeline, making a call on a foul at the other end of the floor in the low block, and he's at the free throw line at the other end of the court? That should be allowed.
Right. It's got to be, you got to be there and watching. You got to be part of the play. You got to be the one that's close. You can't be calling it from the other side of the damn field.
How can a ref in the NFL throw a flag from 25 yards away from a pass interference that a guy's 5 feet away from and doesn't throw the flag? His partner didn't throw the flag. His partner didn't throw the flag. Why didn't they get together on the field and say, because they did get together, and all he said was pass interference, defense, automatic first down, instead of What they should have done was, in my view, said, listen, Mitch, that ball was not going to be caught. There was no pass interference there. Pick it up. Pick up the flag. That they should have picked it up. That was not pass interference. So they let a 25-yard away ref make that call, which is humiliating. Humiliating for the NFL. Humiliating. It just goes to show you how bad they suck. They're terrible. The refs in the NFL are the worst. They throw flags the entire day, all day, every day. Every touchdown is questioned. Every play is questioned. Every play is reviewed. And they wonder why games take 4.5 hours. It's because of the refs. It's the refs. But here's the ESPN postgame show. They're just going to tell you how great the Raiders are. Oh, they're so great. John Gruden, just so unbelievable. Derek Carr, quarterback of the year. Stadium, the best stadium in the league. There's nothing like Vegas. Meanwhile, the guys, not one of them have even ever been to Vegas. The people that do these announce these shows and do these interviews after the show, they don't go to Vegas. They don't have the stones to go to Vegas. Their wives won't let them go to Vegas because they're too big of wussies to handle Vegas. Like Mafia and I go to Vegas 5 million times. Mafia has seen me running naked down the hall in Vegas.
It was not a pleasant sight.
I was a lot better when I was naked in my robe and people crashed through my room suite and I had porn going and bottles and other things on the table, all of which were illegal. Anyway, I can't take it anymore. You know what's funny? Now they're celebrating how great. I told you, they're celebrating the Raiders now. It's a celebration of how great they are. Instead of what they should be doing is analyzing that crappy call that ruined the end of the game. I mean, can you not give us the excitement of a great finish? Can you not make that call and just let the game happen and let the players decide it? Because they didn't decide this game. The refs did. I'm telling you, people say, oh, you can't decide it on one play. Well, sure you can, because it just happened. It just happened. The game was decided by one play. That's all there is to it. It was decided by one play. And that was the play, the pass interference that they threw from 25 yards away from the play when the guy on top of the play didn't call pass interference. How embarrassing was that? Can't even deny it. Raiders win thanks to the refs, and Tampa won tonight. That series won a piece. All right, Pharrell on the bench. So I just watched this ESPN postgame just for 1 minute is all it took. And I called it when I was on the air previously before the break. I said they won't even discuss it because they're going to suck up to the Raiders and get their postgame interviews. If they don't suck up to the Raiders and get, begging them, they won't get any interviews, right? So they got to get Derek Carr, and they got to get everything that they want out of this game. So they're going to just suck up to the Raiders, talk about how great they were tonight and how, Carr's three away from Stabler is the all-time Raiders TD pass king and everything else. And they talked about how great Waller was, and now Carr's doing an interview. And when they threw the flag, when the guy literally, he threw the flag so far, it was like he was bound and determined to be in on the play. The ref threw the ball, threw the flag from the middle of the field. He was in the middle of the field, and the pass was all the way on the sideline on the hash mark, right? He threw the flag 20 yards to the feet of the play, right, to the where the players were. He literally lined up and threw it like he was like fly fishing in Oregon. Right? Like the guy threw the flag literally the entire from the middle of the field all the way to the hash mark. He was like, he pulled it out and threw it as hard as he could, as far as he could, because he was 25 yards away from the play. And then what did Van Pelt say? He said that was a tough call. And he went right on and moved right past it. He said, all right, that was a tough call. But then he just kept going right on to the, let's get Derek Carr in here and we'll get down on our knees and we'll give him a little Jimmy. I mean, honestly, Honestly, like, God, how can they not just have someone sit there for once and just say what I just have been saying for 25 minutes, that that was the most brutal call? I just want to how can you even argue if you have no rooting interest whatsoever, no bet, no nothing? Just admit it, that you can't throw that flag from 25 yards away when the ref that was on top of the play didn't throw a flag. You know, the guy that was on top of the pass, that was on the feet of the players right at the ball, he didn't throw the flag because he got it right. The guy 25 yards away that threw that flag, that's none of his business. He is out of position, out of line, terrible call, ruined the end of the game. Do you realize they would have got the ball back with 2:14, whatever, 2:08, and you would have had a two-minute offense, plenty of time with one timeout and the two-minute warning to move the ball down the field, and then we would have had overtime. Instead, the Raiders mow the clock down and kick a 54-yard field goal. Game over. Don't tell me that flag didn't change the end of that game. Don't even tell me that it didn't. I don't want to hear it. The NFL refs are terrible, and it's every week. They just keep ruining games every week. So know this. As a bettor, you are risking your life betting on NFL games, because if you bet a lot of money, you better, I mean, honestly, sleep with one eye open. Or put one in the chamber, because you're going to need it with these refs, because they're going to ruin your bet. They are going to take your bet win away from you as sure as I'm sitting here. You're going to have a bet on your table, a winning ticket, and it's going to get ripped up at least every week. One game, you're going to get shafted on. You know, if you have a 16 parlay going and you got five of them, I guarantee it, a sixth game, the ref's going to ruin it for you. It's not going to be the players that are going to decide it's a ref. Don't tell me that ref didn't decide that game tonight. I don't want to hear it. I won't listen to anybody try to sell me that it didn't change the game. Listen, I already said to you all night long, I thought Drew Brees looked like crap. I thought it was the worst game I've ever seen him have. I thought his interception was brutal. I thought he looked old. He didn't throw any passes over 20 yards. He was atrocious all night. He took the night off, or he's beginning of the end. The beginning of the end I saw tonight was him. He looked old to me, and he looked absolutely terrible. You can't even argue that either. So they didn't deserve to win. I'll give you that. Raiders deserve this game all night, every night. So congratulations, Raiders. You win. Fair enough? I honestly believe the Raiders deserve to win the game, without a doubt. But the game would have been much better if the ref didn't throw that flag from 25 yards away on that pass interference crap call that he made. That was such a crap call. I don't care what anybody says. And it BS call, crap call, Ferellin call, whatever you want to call it. That was so bad. I mean, honestly, you can't make that call from 25 yards away. Shouldn't even be allowed. He should have between the hash marks. That's his call. In the middle, that's his call. To his right, that is not his call. To his left, that is not his call. Would you agree with that, Mafia? That they should be calling flags, that guy, that ref, down the pike, in the middle, the deepest ref on the field should call anything in the middle. That's it.
Right. It should be just like, you know, zone defense. Like, as a ref, you have your quadrant, you have your zone. You know, if you have a guy right there that's on top of the play, that's his call. That's not yours. You, like you said, leave it to your side. If you see something, maybe in the middle, you guys cross over a bit, you can find something there. But there is no way that you should be throwing it from the other side of the field 20 feet yards away when the guy standing right there did not see contact that he deemed enough to make it, you know, the pass interference, that he didn't think that there was enough, or that he thought the ball was uncatchable for whatever reason. That should not have been thrown by the other guy. It should have been thrown by the guy looking at the play right there that thought that it was fine.
All right, so Brees ended up with 26 of 38, 312 at a TD and a pick. So those numbers are deceiving, because at the point of the game where they drove down the field and scored, where they dunked it all the way down the field, that's where he got all of his yards, because he was about 218 when I said he looks terrible tonight, right? So he got another 100 yards because they moved down the field and scored. So 26 of 38, don't be fooled. He was terrible tonight, if you ask me. Not one pass over 20 yards, and that pick to set up their score, whatever, at the half to tie the game, They got the field goal. That was off of that pick. That was the worst pass I ever saw Drew Brees throw in my life. I mean, the guy was 20 feet in front of him, and he threw it right to him like, here, you take it. I don't want it. Hey, September 26th, that's this Saturday night. I know what you need to do. You need to call your cable provider and order the Showtime pay-per-view Charlo doubleheader. Are you kidding me? Go to Showtime app, showtime.com, or call and order the fight, $74.99, because it's a doubleheader. It's two fight cards, six fights, five title fights. The Charlo brothers both defending their belts. It's unbelievable. WBC super welterweight champ Jermell Charlo takes on the 154 IBF and WBA champ Hasan Rosario to unify the division and settle the score as who the best 154 pounder in the world is. I love that. Unifying, baby. And then undefeated WBC middleweight champ Jermall Charlo, 30-0. He's had 6-0 in title fights defending it and 4 knockouts in those 6 fights. That is crazy. Both of these guys are Sid Vicious. I love the Charlo brothers. I can't wait for Saturday on Showtime pay-per-view. The first pay-per-view card is going to begin at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. After the first three-fight card is headlined by Jermall against Darianchenko, the Ukraine. Then you get a 30-minute intermission. Then you get Jermell against Rosario. So 3 fights, then an intermission, 3 more fights, 6 fights. 5 of them title fights. Are you kidding me? The 4 undercard matchups across the 2 shows feature some of the best 118 and 122 pound division fighters in the world. World champs Figueroa and Casimiro. And then you get a number 1 ranked contender in the WBC, Neri, fighting. And you get 2 WBA number 2 ranked fighters in Roman and Payano. Great fights all night Saturday. This Saturday, the 26th, Showtime pay-per-view, $74.99. Double dip, double header, Charlo brothers, bring it. Bring it, bring it, bring it, bring it, bring it. I'm all over it. I love it. Mafia is stoked. You know what they won't have at the Charlo double header is that crappy NFL ref that threw that flag to ruin the game tonight, to ruin the end of the game. You know, I wish that these teams would have a fund, coaches fund, like, if Sean Payton had, let's say, they put $150,000 in a fund, which he could use as like a, you know, monopoly fund, where he could actually, every game that his team gets shafted by refs, he could just go into the postgame presser and call the guy out by name and say he sucks, and then get fined like $20,000, $50,000. You know, like, you get a little $20,000, $30,000 fine this week, $15,000 fine the next. Save one up for the, you know, end of the season, a little playoff fine. Little $100,000, you know, cushion, little, like a little bank fund you could have for calling refs terrible. Because you know what he said in the middle of the game? Read his lips. You're Pharrellin' terrible. Right to the guy's face. Read his lips. That's what he yelled to him. You're Pharrellin' terrible. You're a Pharrellin' joke. That's what he said to him. Watch. You'll see it. And it's because that was such a bad call. All I wanted to see was a 2-minute offense and Breeze with a chance to go down and send the game into overtime. And then you have a great game instead of that crappy finish. Here, you have it. We're going to give you the win. Not only we're going to give you the ball back, and then you're going to kick a field goal to win. Congratulations. We helped you win tonight. Where are we eating free after the game? So the refs go out in Vegas on the Raiders because Gruden's paying for their dinner. Because the refs won the game for the Raiders with that crappy pass interference call with 2:14 left. That was so bad, I wanted to puke. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care. 34-24 was the final. And they opened their new stadium with no one there with a win. Congratulations. Thanks to the ref. One other note, the Lightning won the game tonight. They led 3-0 and they won 3-2. They barely held on. They did score a goal that was reversed in the third. Sergachev had a goal, but they took it away because Coleman was offside. The ref got it right there. So at least the refs didn't ruin the Stanley Cup final game tonight. They called a good game for once. I mean it. They're awful too. I just wanted to say that at the end.
I like the refs in that one. That one they helped me cover. I had the under 5.5. And it's not going to be the 4-2.
As long as you win the bet, Mafia, that's all I care about.
It's all that matters.
The Rockies, 7-1 over the Giants. That's in the sixth. The Blue Jays beat the Yankees 11-5. Cubs 5-0 over the Pirates. Angels 8-5 today over the Rangers. The Nats beat the Phillies 5-1. Indians over the White Sox 7-4. Reds needed the win. They got it. 6-3 over the Brewers. Braves 5-4 over the Marlins. Rays 2-1 over the Mets. Royals 4-1 over the Cardinals. And the Mariners beat the Astros 6-2-1. I had that upset with Seattle there, too. And it's not going well for the Giants tonight. How about the Jays kicking the Yankees' ass 11-5? I watched some of that game. It was like, honestly, morphine watching the game. I mean, I was just like, my eyes were I watched two innings and my eyes were floating because they're so boring. I mean, bring me baseball playoff games, please. I can't get here soon enough because I try to watch one of these regular season baseball games. I have had more fun, honestly. Drinking molasses sounds more fun. Honestly, I can't take how boring it is. It is so boring. And these announcers telling their stories. Oh my God, I want to stick my head in a car window and slam it up and down with an electronic window. So boring. I mean, honestly, I've had more fun in a dentist chair. Mafia got a root canal a couple weeks ago. He told me he had more fun having a root canal than watching the Mets. I watch the Yankees tonight. I've had more fun at funerals. So I got to ask Morenci. He's up next with Sports Rage. Gabe, I thought, don't be deceived by Drew Brees, 26-38 for 312 and a pick and a TD. I thought he was terrible tonight, and I thought his interception was the worst pass I ever saw him throw. And I thought that ref throwing that flag from 30 yards away from the middle of the field on a play where the guy on the ball, the ref on the ball didn't throw a flag because it wasn't pass interference. I think it should be criminal that a ref can throw a flag 25 yards away to ruin the end of that game. The game would have been 2-minute drive, hurry up offense with Brees. They could have had a chance with 2:08 left, whatever, to tie it. Game goes to overtime. It would have been a great finish. Instead, they just handed it to him. And then ESPN would never mention that crappy call because they're in bed with the NFL and the refs.
Yeah, you know what? It's annoying listening to these games. I miss you doing NHL games. They never bring anything up. There could be the worst possible call in the history of the world. Last night, Pete Carroll throws the ball instead of icing the game, and the Patriots nearly win. Collinsworth doesn't bring it up. And Collinsworth's a smart guy, too, but you know the drill, bro, right? You toe the party line. You don't criticize the refs and all that. But think about it, Scotty. I don't know. How many primetime games have there been? I think like five now, whatever, to Thursday. You know, we're only into week two now to Thursday, two Monday nighters, a Thursday, and a Monday nighter. And two of them have been decided with like weird calls at the end, like and with pass interference. Look at the Rams Cowboys game. That was a joke. Listen, Jenkins did grab his arm. It was stupid. And the whole thing is Ruggs is so fast, so they can make the argument that it was catchable. It doesn't matter, Scotty. As you stated, bro, the Saints were going to lose anyways. I was on the Raiders. Without Michael Thomas, he's screwed. And even with Michael Thomas, they're kind of screwed. Saints are good. But they're star heavy. Like Kamara's amazing. Michael Thomas is amazing. Traquan Smith and Emmanuel Sanders ain't scaring anybody, bro.
All right. Sports Rage is next. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 East on Coast to Coast. Have a good show, Morenci. Great job, Mafia. Good night, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.